like that only some of you are glad, and the rest of you need a break for afternoon. Can you turn to the next person and say, I'm glad to be alive? Amen. I'm just kind of waiting for technology to catch up with me. Amen. So, usually this works when you press the on button. So, for those of you who don't know, I will be going to Norway next Friday, and I'll just be there for about 8 days, and I'm being sent for work. It's an exciting time for our project, and also I've been praying into it, and I'm really excited as to the potential and opportunities there. So we'll see what comes out of it, but I'm very excited about it. Amen. Okay, I'm going to have to work with that on the computer. All right. This morning, what I'd like to talk to you about is kind of build on the themes and the messages that have been going for the last few Sundays. You know, a lot of us have attended camp, and we listen to Mike Bickle share about the Song of Solomon, and what a beautiful book that is, and how the picture that is painted in that book of God's great love for us, and the journey that this woman goes through. When I was a teenager, I read this book called Hinds Feet in High Places. I don't know whether any of you have heard of that. I'm not recommending you go out and buy the book and read it. I'm just saying I read it. And it is a lot like Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody read the book Pilgrim's Progress? It's a little bit more well-known. So Hinds Feet in High Places is exactly the same as Pilgrim's Progress in a sense that it's an allegory. And it shows, it's a picture, it's a story of this young lady called Much Afraid. And Much Afraid, the story of Hinds Feet in High Places is basically based on the scripture in Psalms 18, and we're going to read it in a minute, Psalms 18 and Habakkuk 3, which talks about Hinds Feet on High Places. And the journey goes with Much Afraid, just like Pilgrim's Progress, how Pilgrim, you know, he journeys on this Christian walk, and it shows how he goes through various trials and things like that. It's a kind of a bit similar with Much Afraid. So all through her life, Much Afraid is journeying, and she's journeying with the Good Shepherd. And one day, Much Afraid says to the Good Shepherd, I want to be just like those sure-footed deer that jump around on the high places. I want to be like that. And she has this desire to be with the Good Shepherd on the high places. And as part of that desire, the Good Shepherd is delighted that she has expressed her desire to be up there in the high places. And so he takes her through a very winding journey. She encounters all sorts of situations. And that is a bit of a picture of our life, isn't it? You know, a lot of times we start off and we have many fears. We have lots of worries, lots of things that we get bogged down with. But as soon as we set our heart and we express desire to follow the Lord, He sees that desire and He responds to us. And He meets us where we are. But He doesn't want us to stay there. He wants to challenge us. He wants to take us up to the high places. He wants to give us hinds feet so that we can jump around. And so it's like mountain goats. If you can picture mountain goats, how they jump around. So that's kind of what He wants to give to us. He wants to give us hinds feet so we can jump on the high places with Him. Amen? So this morning, and I feel in 2019, there is a call that is going out. A call that is going out to each and every one of us here this year to respond to Him. So if we think of God as the Good Shepherd up in the high places, He's calling us, come up, come up, come up. You can do it. You can do it. I'm giving you hinds feet. Come up, come up. And I feel like that's the call that is going out right now and also in 2019. The call is going out to come up higher and to experience new levels, new heights in our faith that we never even thought were possible, never think that we could possibly do. And so this morning, I'd like to stir you up. I'd like to challenge you. I'd like to encourage you, just as God is encouraging me to come up to higher heights. So I've got this, responding to the call, it's a bit of a long title, responding to that call, the call of God that is going out to go to a higher level of spiritual maturity, a higher plane, amen? Amen. Okay, all right. So where this is taken from is taken from Psalms 18:33. It says, He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and He sets me on my high places. That's repeated again in Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength. He is the one who strengthens me. He gives me the feet like a deer. He gives me the strength to hop up, to jump up. Right? He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me to walk on high hills. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So this morning, let's respond to God, and let's respond to His call. Amen? Yep. Okay. So the scripture that Pastor Joseph was talking about was 2 Corinthians 13:14. We've been sharing it pretty much every Sunday since 2019. It's now February. Can you believe it? February already. And we've been looking at this verse. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to break down this verse, and we are going to look at each of the different components. So we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and lastly, the communion of the Holy Spirit. So, three things: the grace, the love, and the communion. And you can see in this verse that the triune God is present in this verse. So, in this verse, it shows us how do we interact with each part of the triune God, and how do we receive and respond to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we've got here the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to, if you like, you can look at Philippians chapter 2. If not, I'm going to read it from the screen here. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amen?
Amen.
So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does this really mean? It's the grace of the Lord, grace to become like the Lord Jesus. So just this morning, just then, Pastor Joseph was talking about an outpouring of grace and love. So this morning, let's receive the grace of God that He is pouring out on us to become like Jesus. Galatians 4:19 says, until Christ is formed in you. Right? So, go back. For it is God who works in you. He wants to work in us. The grace is released for us, for that work to happen in us, that He can make us like Jesus. And He can do that work inside of us. Amen? Amen. So the grace that is released is the grace to change, And not just change, but to respond to change that is happening around us. So a lot of times when we've been talking about change, we're talking about it in relation to me changing. Absolutely. Yes, we need to change, but we also need to be able to respond to change. So respond to change that is happening around me, because God will cause changes to happen around you to sometimes change you. Does that make sense? Okay, change happening around you to cause the change to happen in you. Okay, let me give you an example. I recently read another book, and just before you get the idea that I read all these books, I really don't. I was literally having this conversation with my colleagues, and they read books all the time, like in the bus and things like that. And I said, I just don't have time. You know, so the only book I read is the Bible. But I promised my colleague that I would read this one book, and I didn't think it would hurt because it was only this thick. I thought, I think I can do that. The print was like that big. So I think I can do that. So it was a small book, and the book was called Who Moved My Cheese? Anybody read that book? Oh, okay. I think it's a brilliant book. Every Christian should read that book, actually, because there's lots of truths from it, and we're going to go through some of it. The truths that have a lot of spiritual application for Christians. I mean, for everyone, really. Okay, so the title is called Who Moved My Cheese? Okay, so the story goes, I'm going to recount this to you because I think it's so good. There are four characters in the book, and the four characters are two mice called Sniff and Scurry. Sniff and Scurry. Okay, now these two are mice, and then there's two little people. And the little people are called Hem and Haw. Now, Hem and Haw is like being indecisive, like, I can't make up my mind. That's what Hem and Haw means, okay? So, two little people and two mice. Now, these four characters live in a great giant maze. And in the maze, there is cheese. And in the maze, there is also stations within the maze. Now, they don't know where the cheese is going to be. So every morning they wake up. Now, the story starts off with them all enjoying cheese at cheese station N, I think it is. There's lots of different stations. And there's a mountain of supply of cheese. There's so much cheese. It's impossible to think that there would not be any cheese the next morning because there's so much. So they're just eating. Very good stuff. Okay, so they're eating cheese and they're enjoying themselves and life is really good. So the two little people, Hem and Haw, this is great. Life is good. And they're laughing at Sniff and Scurry because Sniff and Scurry have got their shoes, you know, they tie the laces and they just put it around their neck. Like, why would you tie your shoes around your neck? Because, like, are you in a hurry to go somewhere? Like, where are you going to go? There's all this cheese here, like, obviously. So Hem and Haw have built their whole lives around Cheese Station N. They've made themselves comfortable. They put up a picture frame. I'm just making things up now. They're putting things up, you know. So they're getting very settled and comfortable at that station. One morning they wake up. They go to Cheese Station N. No cheese. No cheese. Who moved my cheese? Where did my cheese go? So Hem and Haw are stuck at this cheeseless station, and there's no cheese. And so they hem and they haw, you know, and they go, oh, I don't know what we should do. Just blaming and looking at the circumstances, and all the while they're doing that, cheese isn't coming. There's no cheese. Now Sniff and Scurry, because they already had the shoes around their neck, quickly put their shoes on and started going off into the maze to find where the cheese might be. So they're looking for another cheese station where the cheese might be. So this happens. So now a day passes and they're hungry and still no cheese. Another day passes, still no cheese, no cheese, no cheese. All this while, Sniff and Scurry have gone off and Hem and Haw can't find Sniff and Scurry, they're like nowhere to be seen, right? So all of a sudden, after a while, now after a few days without any cheese, Haw decides, well, I think we should just try going out there because it's not like the situation is getting any better here. It's not like we're getting any cheese. So Hor goes out into the maze. And as he goes out into the maze, he writes his lessons down that he learns along the way. He writes them on the wall so that he can, so hopefully he can remember the things that he learned. And one day, if Hem decides to leave that Chi Station Inn, he might see the writings on the wall and learn the same lessons too. So here are some of the lessons. Okay, for those of you who read it, did I say the right thing? It's kind of right? Good summary? Okay. Okay, so these are some of the lessons. Okay, so the first lesson, adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy the new cheese. All right, so that was one of the lessons that he learned. So Hor learned that the quicker I let go of this idea of this old cheese, where this old cheese was, the sooner I can enjoy new cheese. Now, at parts of the story, Hor found cheese, but it wasn't the cheese he was used to. It was a different kind of cheese, and he wasn't sure whether he liked it. But he tried it anyway because he was hungry. And as he tried the new cheese, he discovered that there was some of the new cheeses he really liked. So he discovered new things about himself, things that he didn't know before. So he discovered that new cheese is not bad cheese. It's actually, some new cheese is quite nice cheese. So the quicker we let go of old cheese, the sooner we can enjoy new cheese. So what's the spiritual application here? The quicker we let go of the things that we're used to, right? So our ways, way of doing things, the way that we think, the way that we approach things, old thinking, old things, then the sooner we are able to do that, the sooner we are able to enjoy fresh revelation from God. So that means fresh things, fresh move, fresh revelation, fresh solutions for today's problems, for today's challenges. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So the quicker I let go, the sooner I can experience the new things that God wants to do, or what God wants to give to me. So remember, God is calling us to come up higher. So if we're coming up higher, it means it's going to be different. It means there's going to change. It means there's something, there are things that are going to be new for us. Amen? So we're going to experience the new. He wants us to experience that. Amen? Another lesson, move with the cheese. So by staying at Cheese Station Inn, it's not going to help. The cheese isn't going to be there because the cheese has already moved. So I need to move with the cheese. I need to move with where the Holy Spirit is leading. If I stay the same, if I stay stagnant, if I stay in this place, I'm going to basically die. So because that's what happened with Ham didn't die, but he could have moved out a lot closer. So the end of the story is, did you want the end of the story? Do you want me to? Okay, fine. All right, so Ham ended up leaving Cheese Station, and he finally found his way to where the cheese was and where Hor and Snip and Scurry were. And the moral of the story is they all end up with shoes around their neck because they learned their lesson. Okay, we're going to get to that. They learned their lesson. So move with the Holy Spirit. Move with the cheese. Where's the cheese going? Where is God moving? I want to be there too, right? Not get stuck in my old habits and my old ways, right? So enjoy the change. So this is what I was talking a bit earlier about, enjoying the new cheese. So savor the adventure and enjoy the taste of new cheese. So the spiritual application is enjoy the process of change. God delights in us, and God delights to do that work in us. As painful and as uncomfortable as it might be, we can embrace the process and embrace the process of God changing us and forming Christ inside of us. Amen? So embrace, enjoy the process of change and changing. Amen? Okay, so we're going to discover things maybe that God has put deep inside of us that hasn't been, I guess, uncovered yet because we haven't had an opportunity to. So enjoy the change. All right, and yep, okay, this is speaking to the shoes thing. Be ready to change quickly. So once Hor had this experience where he ran off into the maze and he found cheese, but it wasn't there the next day, right? He got, oh, there's success. I went off, I started changing, and then I'm experiencing this new cheese. So the next day, it wasn't hard to do it again. It wasn't hard to adapt and find a new way, find a new cheese station. And then slowly what began to happen is it became a habit, it became a change in his mindset to expect change and to expect a change in conditions, to expect to go looking for the cheese. Yeah? So, be ready to change quickly and enjoy the whole process all over again. They keep moving the cheese, so I'm going to keep moving, and I'm going to expect that every time. So the spiritual application for us is to have a mindset where it is expected that I will be continually growing and changing. It is expected. God expects that of me, and I expect to also be the same. Amen?
Amen.
That's really different from just going through life. If I expect to change, then I'm going to be willing to cooperate with Him when He's working in my life and when He's doing things that I don't really like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm expecting God to do that work in me. Okay. So I read this book, right? This book on Who Moved My Cheese, and I thought, boy, this would have been great if I had read this book a lot earlier. and because I could see points in my own life where I was resistant to change and I didn't like what God was doing in my life. So I'll give you an example. I graduated, and after I graduated, I think some of you already know this, I had a really, really hard time finding a job. It took me like a whole year after I graduated to find a job. It could have had something to do with the fact that I was slightly picky. But anyway, I couldn't find a job, and there were several times where I got interviews, but it somehow just didn't work out. Either I got offered the job, but just the terms, wasn't working. And it didn't sit right or feel right. So for the longest time ever, during that whole year, it doesn't do a lot for your confidence as well when you apply for jobs and you get rejected or you don't get a response and things like that. So during that time, I remember feeling really, really discouraged that I couldn't get a job. And it seemed like everybody else around me, they all had their lives together because they had, you know, they had all these opportunities, they were making things happen, and I'm just working at McDonald's. Nothing wrong with McDonald's, but it's great. So I discovered that, you know, even though things were going really great at McDonald's, I thought, you know, this kind of stuff that I'm doing at McDonald's that I really enjoy, which is training. Again, that's another story. And I was doing lots of HR type stuff. So I thought maybe I could do an online course on HR and I'll just do that and I'll just completely change and do that online and work full time and all that kind of stuff. So I had a plan together and I thought, you know, that's how I'm going to deal with this situation and this problem. I'm going to fix it. So every other person would have probably agreed that that was a good plan, because it's like I'm taking charge, I'm taking control of my situation, and I'm doing something with it. But then God messed up my plans pretty big time, because I got asked to apply for a job, as you know, at Chevron, and I didn't want to. The whole way I got connected to that was, my dad was working for someone at Chevron who he used to work with him in his previous company, and he told him, there's this job, it's an entry-level job, it's only a contract for 3 months, why don't you get Grace to apply? He thought of me, not even my dad thought of me, even though my dad knew there was an opening. It was so, and then it all got connected anyway, so I got the job, I didn't even want to do it, I did it. And then I was thinking, this is really upsetting because I'm now delayed in my online course by 3 months because I'm now working full-time here. And I also said to myself, what you don't know is I also promised myself after I graduated that when I was looking for jobs, I would never, ever, ever, ever work for oil and gas. I just promised myself I said that because in my mind, oil and gas, they're greedy, they're irresponsible, they're evil, I'm never going to work there. And so this is funny, right? This is funny. So God put me in this place, and I'm sitting there with a stinky attitude. My dad knows it because he had to put up with it, and he had to, like, coach and mentor me at night times after work, and I'm like, And I discovered that, you know, through the 3 months of working there, they had no place in the office for me because they weren't expecting someone to do the job. But anyway, so they found a seat, a desk outside the environment manager's office. And every day, you know, after he's done all his meetings, he would come around and say hello to everyone. And I would listen to him and the team talk with so much, like, passion and conviction about the environment and all the things, the programs and the plans they have in place to protect the environment and things like that. And we, you know, Chevron operates on some very, very environmentally sensitive areas. So Class A nature reserve, Class C nature reserve. So I was listening to all that stuff, and it was just like everything that I thought that an oil and gas company was just being like smashed away, just blown to smithereens. I'm not here to try and sell you a job in oil and gas. I'm just saying this is my story and this is my journey. So slowly, through those 3 months, my perspectives began to change. And I began to see that maybe this is the place that God wants me to be. And it was through the 3 months that God revealed to me a lot of attitudes that I needed to change, a lot of perspectives that needed to change. And then eventually, after the 3 months, I got renewed for another 2 months. And then I started, you know, liking what I was doing. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm liking this. I'm enjoying this. This is wrong. And then just one thing led to another. And then eventually I became permanent, and then my HR online course dreams just went away. So God stopped up. Ever since then, I have learned to not plan my life, or at least plan that way. And I've never needed, a lot of people, because they look at me and I'm young, especially at that time, right, this was 10 years ago, they get very excited because they want to give you career advice and tell you what you should do with your life. And you should do this, you should go for that, and you should do... I've never had to plan my career. I think I've shared this before. Like, every time, God has always moved me from one position to another. I never had to actively seek it. I never had to promote myself, which is contrary to all the advice they give you. They will say you need to promote yourself, make yourself look good, show all the things you've done. I never had to do that. I got handpicked for roles. I got moved from one place to another. I never had to manage my career. God has a better plan for you and your life than you ever imagined. Amen? And when you put Him first and when you honor Him, He will open the doors for you. He will open the right doors. Amen?
Amen.
So another thing that, you know, so that's one example of me having to change my attitudes and change my perspectives and going through change. I could have benefited from this a couple of years ago when I changed jobs and within the company, and I was basically thrown into a project environment that was very, very dynamic. Change is happening all the time. So that means in the morning, you're working on something. By lunchtime, you're working on something else because something else is due. And Grace, that's not a priority anymore. You're doing this instead. and change is happening all the time. And so being thrown into this environment, you learn to build skills in adapting and adapting quickly, and you sometimes even enjoy it half the time. So it's now been 2 years since being thrown into a project, and I can say very comfortably now, I'm not quite there yet, but I think I have started to start to enjoy this kind of environment where I'm moving with the change. So one of the things they asked me to do was they said, Grace, we need training. We need you to train the guys on the platform because we are going to hit a very critical time where the risk is going to just shoot up through the roof because we're also going to introduce hydrocarbons like gas into a facility. And these guys may or may not have had experience with dealing with that. The risks are really high because the worst thing that could happen is the whole thing goes kaboom and everybody dies. So we don't want that kind of scenario to happen. And it could be sometimes those situations happen from just a very small slip. So we want you to do some training. We want you to go up there. And okay, cool. Great, I'm going to go there. So where's there? It's out there in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Oh, by the way, before you get out there, you have to do this training. And this training is underwater helicopter escape. Bye! Oh, great, cool. Because there's nothing more that I love than being dunked in the water. So I'm going to talk about fear now, right? So this is when fear hits in, okay? So it was all well and good. I agreed to it. It's great. I'm sitting in the training. There's like one day of classroom training. And then the second day, it's like, okay, guys, put all your gear on. We can make it in the water. And I'm like, okay, okay. So this is kind of what it looks like. They put you in full gear, and you sit inside a sim that's like a helicopter. It's the same size, same dimensions as a helicopter. Your seatbelt is on. They dunk you in the water. They turn you upside down, because that's really what will happen in real life. If a helicopter crashes on the water, it will turn upside down because of the weight distribution. The rotors are too heavy. So it will turn upside down. Now, you can't escape the helicopter while that's happening. It's too dangerous because the rotors are still going like this. So you literally have to sit there, strapped in, and turn upside down, wait for the rotors to stop running, and then get your safety belt off, push your way out of the window, and then swim out, and then you can breathe. So they dunk you in about 7 to 8 times. And so as I was in the water, and I'm sitting in my seat, all geared up, so what they do is they lower that shell down. And as they lower it, the water starts going up like this. And at that moment, I was like, I'm going to die. Jesus, take me home. And this is not a good look for, because I'm a health and safety advisor, right? So I'm going to become a statistic. So if this happens and I actually do die and go home and meet Jesus, I'm going to show up as one, a fatality on the report. So that's what's running through my head, right? I'm being very open and transparent. So I'm panicking and I'm so afraid, and the water's going up like this, and I'm not going to make this. And then I remember the first time they dumped me in, because they do it in stages. So the first stage is just, there's no window for you to push out. If there's no window, they just swim out through it. And I remember that I just tanked that first time they dumped me. I couldn't even wait. I just went out the window. And they're like, Grace, you're not supposed to do that. Because in real life, you will die if you did that. So I'm like, okay, I can't do this. And I remember there was a moment in between the first and the second dunk that I was praying so hard. I'm like, God, this is so hard. And I was so scared. And I remember, I think there was a Holy Spirit just said, just calm down and breathe, and you'll be fine. And so I literally told myself this. I said, I'll be fine. And I discovered that when you are calm, you don't use up as much energy, and you're a little bit more clear-headed, and it's a lot easier. Because when you're underwater and you're upside down, everything's blurry. Like, it sounds fine to you, but when you're in that situation, and all of a sudden, it feels really claustrophobic as well when you're underwater. So after I calmed down, I'm going to make it through this. Jesus is going to help me. I'm not going to die. I was able to hold my breath for the whole time, and I was able to make it out safely. And so they put in the extra challenge, which is a real one, right? You won't always be the one sitting next to the window. Sometimes you'd be the one next or the next. So then that's the eighth dunk. The eighth dunk, they don't want you to sit at the window, because realistically, you might not be sitting at the window. So you've got to hold your breath, wait for the two other people to exit before you can. And you're like, Now. So I'm alive today. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm not exactly saying I'm going to be rushing to do this thing next time, but, you know, through this, sometimes when we go through change and we're faced with maybe not a life and death situation or something like this, but we can have a lot of fear, and fear can cripple you. And our fears and our worries and our anxieties can stop us from enjoying the process of God doing that work in us and changing us. If I had not done this, I would never have been able to go out to the platform in the middle of the Indian Ocean and have a great time training, even though I fell down the stairs, but I still had a good time. And it's, you know, sometimes we look at things and we don't see the other side, because we're so stuck in this situation, in this moment, in this challenge, in this thing that I don't like what you're doing in my life. and we can't see the other end. And the other end is great. The other end is really cool. It's actually really cool sitting in a helicopter and being able to look out and not see any land. It's just ocean for as long as you can see. And you can sometimes see whales and things like that. When you fly out far enough, you can actually see that. And you can enjoy God's creation. So it's so amazing, right? Amen. I'm blessed. Okay, so number one. So the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace is released to us to change. The grace is released to us to allow Him to do that work inside of us until Christ is formed in us. Amen? All right, amen. Okay, the love of God. Okay, so the love of God. We read this last week with Brother Dina. So Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Everything hangs on this. John 15, 9 to 10. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love." Amen. So in Song of Solomon, we're reading about this God who loves us so much. And I know that for myself, my perspectives really change. Because sometimes, without us realizing it, we can have a very performance-based view of love. Meaning, if I do this, God will love me more. If I read my Bible more, he'll be pleased with me and he'll be happy with me. And somehow that affects or that changes his love for me. And I was really challenged on that. And I was really, really touched by the message that we heard that Mike Bickle shared about Peter. And how Peter was, you know, his commitment, he thought his commitment was really, really strong. But it was nothing compared to God's love for Peter despite his failure and despite his shortcomings. And that really, really touched me. So after camp, what I decided to do was I decided to read the book of Hosea and not rush through it, but allow God to speak to me because it's quite similar to Song of Solomon. And in my readings of Hosea, Hosea talks about an aspect of God which ties in with Song of Solomon. He loves us so much and he is a jealous God. So in Hosea chapter 2, verse 5, so Hosea talks about, you know, God says to Hosea, "Hosea, I want you to go marry a harlot or a prostitute. And I want you to do this because I want to show the children of Israel, this is like what you are like to me. I am like you and the harlot. You, the children of Israel, you are like playing the harlot or playing the prostitute. You're going after all your other lovers and all this kind of stuff. And I want to show them that my love for them is an everlasting love. And I want them to come back to me. Come back to this marriage. Come back to this. I love you." Right? So in Hosea chapter 2, verse 5, there's a lot of dialogue that goes on. And this is what it says. It says, "For she said," she as in the prostitute, the harlot wife of Hosea, "I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread, my water, my wool, my linen, my oil, and my drink." So in her mind, the prostitute's mind, so Hosea's wife, she is going out to her lovers to seek these things because she says, "I will go to them because they give me these things." So what does that represent for us today? We may not be like a prostitute, but we can act like one in a sense that we look to other things, other people, just other stuff to give us, to make us feel fulfilled, to give us our happiness, to give us the security that we want, the security that we're looking for. We look for it in every other place except for the one who can actually give it to us. In later on in that same chapter, the Lord says, she did not know that I gave her grain. I'm the one who gives you these things. Why don't you come to me? I'll give you those things. But we look for it in other places. We look for it in our jobs. We want job satisfaction. We look for it in our relationships. You know, we can actually idolize the people that are closest to us. We can idolize family. We can idolize our relationships and look for that sense of satisfaction through the relationships that we have, either our spouses, our kids, or just family in general. And we look for our validation, our approval, and our security in all the wrong places, where Jesus just wants us to look for it in Him. And to find it in Him and within the safety of that marriage relationship that He's showing us that we should see ourselves in with Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So I gave these to Him. I'm the one. I even multiply it. I can even multiply it. So why are you chasing these things that will just vaporize, that won't last? Amen? Okay, so He is a jealous God. So later on in that same chapter, it says she decked herself with earrings and jewelry. She went after her lovers, looking for happiness, looking for satisfaction, looking for security, looking for all these things. But me, she forgot, says the Lord. Philippians 2, we were just reading that earlier. In a later verse, it says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. He is a jealous God, and He wants every single part of us. Sometimes we go about this relationship with God as if it's inconvenient. I really don't have time for that. God, I'm kind of really busy. I've got to do all this. I've got to get up for work. I've got to do this for the kids. I've got to do that. And my day is so busy. And we don't have time for God because it's a little bit inconvenient. I've got these things to do. I've already got my plans. I've already got stuff, a schedule, things like that. And we forget about God because everything's going all right in our lives. We've got everything that we need. I've got a house. I'm really happy. I've got a car. I've got a job. You know, money's coming into my bank account. Everything's going great. But I can forget God, and my attitude towards Him is, not right now, God. Not right now. Everything's going great. When things get rough, then I'll come to You. Or when I'm having a hard time, then I'll come to You. When I need healing, something's wrong with my body, then I'll come to You. And we treat God like that, a bit like the prostitute, only coming when she wants to. We look for it in every other place. Amen? Well, that's not an amen, but an encouragement for us to not do that. Amen? Okay. All right. So, a loving God. So we're still on this topic of the love of God. So the love of God, so we talked about the grace of Jesus Christ to form Christ in us. And the second one is the love of God, the love that He has for us, He wants to fill us with so that we can love Him in return and then love others the same way that He loves us. So despite playing the harlot and the prostitute, He calls us to Himself. In that same chapter, by the time we get to the end of that chapter, He says, and it shall be in that day that the Lord says that you will call Me My husband and no longer call Me My master. This is showing the relationship that He longs to have with us. It's highly relational. It's like He wants us to see Him like that, as a husband and not a master. He wants that closeness with us. In verse 19, I will betroth you to Me forever. I will betroth you to Me in righteousness, in justice, in loving kindness, and mercy. And when we come to the end of the chapter, in verse 23, it says, and then you will say, you who were not My people before, you are My people, and they will say, you are My God. And in Revelation, we see that as well, that He wants to be known of us, just as the other way around. He wants us to be able to say, you are My God, and I belong to You. I am Yours. I am Your people, and You are My God. Amen? All right. Chapter 6 in Hosea talks about, come, let us return to the Lord. Let us know Him. Let us pursue. Let us run after Him. And that's a bit like the Song of Solomon, where the Shulamite woman decides to get up and go after Him. I will go after Him. I will run after Him. Early in the morning, I will seek Him. Right? So this is a picture of us responding to the call of God to come to Him, to find the things that we're looking for in other places, but find it in Him, and to come and draw ourselves closer to Him. Amen? All right, the last one. The last one is the communion of the Holy Spirit. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and lastly, the communion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to be able to understand God's emotions. The Holy Spirit gives us insight as to what God is feeling, how He sees us, how He views each matter. What does He feel about what I'm doing? What's happening in my life? He surely feels something. So what is that? The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals it to us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to receive that outpouring of grace and love that Pastor Joseph was talking about earlier just this morning. So the Holy Spirit. I've had a couple of times where Pastor Machen has this thing where she closes her eyes and she's told us this is what she does, and she visualizes what she just sees, and she will know if a thing can work or not because she's connecting with the Holy Spirit, and she's told us this before. So there's been a couple of times where I've tried to do that and I think I got it because I got an answer that was different to what I planned. So for example, I was at work and we're going to do this thing, and technically it's correct. Technically the plan that we have, the way that we're going to do it, is absolutely bang on correct. It's all sound. But I closed my eyes and then I was like, it's not going to work. It's just not. And my colleagues thought I was a bit crazy, quite crazy actually, and quite stupid, and my boss even. And I said, trust me, we've got to do it this way. And it's this a whole different way. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to cut this, we're going to do that. And sure enough, when we did that way, it worked, and it worked really brilliantly. So the communion of the Holy Spirit, He gives us the ability to receive the revelation from God, the insights from God, and He shows us what God is thinking and feeling. Amen? And we can have that. And all it takes is just a moment to engage with the Holy Spirit to see what He is saying. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So He gives us the solutions and the answers. They don't have to be problems anymore. All right. So in conclusion, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is released for us to be changed, that He might be fully formed in us. The love of God is calling us into a deeper relationship with Him because He is a jealous God. He wants all of us. He doesn't want just part of us. He doesn't want us to look for Him when it's convenient. But all the time, if we valued the relationship, right, it wouldn't be a matter of convenience. It wouldn't be a matter of, I've got this time slot available for you. Because we value the relationship, and that's what He's trying to show us. This year, in 2019, the challenge is, what's the value of our relationship? And if I see that value, I will respond. I will respond to the call because He's calling all of us. Come up higher. Come up higher to the mountain. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the hind feet. I'm going to give that to you. So jump up with me. And the communion of the Holy Spirit enables us to receive this outpouring of grace and love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let this year, 2019, be a different year. Throughout whatever challenges, whatever things that come in our life, let this be a year where we decide to do things differently, where we embrace the process of change in our lives, and we embrace the change that is happening around us, because God wants to do that work inside of us, to will and to work in you until Christ is formed in you. And let's not be fixated on what we're comfortable with or used to, but allow God to take us to the other side where we can't see. We don't know what it is, but we know it's going to be great. One of the things that I was really impacted with, this phrase that Mike Bickle used often, was trust His leadership. Have confidence in His leadership. And that's it's a great phrase, but in practice, it might not be so easy. I mean, we say we believe in God. We believe He's a great God. He's powerful. He's mighty. He can heal. He can do signs and wonders. But then when it comes to things, my life doesn't demonstrate that I trust Him. My life doesn't demonstrate that I take him at his word because I'm busy finding my own solutions and fixing things my own way. Busy finding a HR course that I can do so that I can actually have a career because I can't seem to find a job. We do that. I go out and I fix the problem myself. I go out and I try to find my own solutions, and instead of turning to God as the first port of call, he's the last. When everything else fails and everything else doesn't work, then I seek him. And this year, God wants to change that in us, where we seek him first. He is the first port of call, the first person we talk to, the first person we consult and we seek. Amen? Because his plans for us, this comes back to the trust, his plans for us are better than we realize. And if that's a truth in my life, then the evidence of that will be, I trust this leadership, I will go with what he says, I will seek him first and not other things. That's the evidence that that is real in my life. That it's not just something that I say on Sundays, it's not just something that I read, it's not just a poster, a Christian poster that I stick up on the wall of my house or in the back of my toilet door, I don't know why, just so that I can read and feel Christian. This is when it becomes real. When things come, the evidence that God is real in my life and that I trust his leadership and that I have confidence in him as God, as my God, is when I can do that. Amen? So the communion of the Holy Spirit enables us to receive the outpouring of grace that he's pouring out and the outpouring of love that he's pouring out this year. Amen? Amen. Let's respond.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Can I just ask that we stand to our feet?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I'm not sure which part of this may have spoken to you or what God is doing specifically in your life, but at this moment, after we've heard these things, I'd just like you to just take a moment, just lift up your hands and close your eyes. Look up to heaven and just allow God to speak to you. God, what is the thing that you are challenging me on to do differently today? This moment is a moment of change in itself. This moment is a moment, a critical moment in my life where I make a decision. What decision will you make this morning? What will you set your heart to? What will you commit to do? It doesn't matter if you fail, you can always re-sign. You can always get back. But what are you going to commit to do today? Which area is God, is the Holy Spirit probing and challenging you on? Lord, we just thank you that in 2019 you are calling us. There is a call that is going out for us to respond to you.
Yes.
To go up to higher heights. To go up to new planes, new levels of faith and spiritual maturity. You love us so much that you don't want us to stay the same. You love us so much that you want us to join you on the high places. You're giving us hind feet. You're giving us the ability and the strength to jump to the next level with you. So this morning we respond to the call. We respond to you.
Yes.
We respond to your call to come closer and to draw closer to you. To forsake all the things that we have turned to in the past. We forsake the things that we are comfortable with. We forsake our old attitudes, our old perspectives, our old ways of doing things, the things that are holding us down. We're going to lay aside every sin and everything that easily besets us, because we are running. We are running towards you. We are running for the prize that is set before us. So, Father, this morning, let there be an outpouring of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And let 2019 be a different year where we choose to respond to you and not react, where we choose to embrace the process of change in our lives, that you, Jesus, may be formed in us, that we may be used by you wherever it is. Is that you place us, to be a lighthouse, to be a beacon of hope, to be a channel, a carrier of your grace and of your presence and of the wonder-working power of Jesus Christ. Let this year be a different year for us. I declare it, I proclaim it for Evangel Christian Fellowship and for every single person here. We are going to encounter you in a new way. We are going to experience the higher heights of faith in Jesus' name. Amen.